continuing a series of messages from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, begin at verse 11. It is difficult to outline the book of Proverbs. It's difficult to follow it and outline. There are at least three different authors stated in the book of Proverbs. Solomon, King Solomon, as a young man, is the compiler of Proverbs. It says that very clearly at the beginning. So we know clearly the first nine chapters are his. We also know that part of his commission as king was to collect Proverbs, and we know that he collected many Proverbs that aren't in the scriptures, because there's about 500-600 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, but the Word of God tells us he collected over 3,000. So that's interesting, but that's for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit has gave us these words, and we know they are his word to us, and especially as I'm going back through this carefully, discovering so many connections to the Word of God as they're quoted by the apostles in the New Testament. So we always keep that in mind as well. The best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture, so we keep that in mind. So give your attention to the reading of God's Word from Proverbs 3, 11 through 20. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Heavenly Father, blessed to our understanding the reading of your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, while we hear it expounded, be made acceptable in your sight, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things you can't help but notice in the book of Proverbs, when you read through it, is that wisdom is personified as female. There are those who want to make much of that and say things that are blasphemous because of that. But what we must do is not ignore it. We must look at it for exactly what it is. There are two reasons that I think are extremely important. One is the nature of the Hebrew language. You have to take this into account. Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, modern Hebrew, the same, as well as the Greek of the New Testament, as well as a few other languages I know about. I know Spanish, I know German. They all have this common trait that there is a female form of subject and verb. And sometimes the words are female construction, and it's simply a matter of proper grammar. And the English translations translate it properly. Wisdom is a female construct. And so therefore all the pronouns have to be in agreement with that construct. So that's one. But there is another, and that is there is this obvious analogy in Proverbs between the godly woman and the wicked woman. And it's a theme that travels throughout the book of Proverbs. We see this in throughout history, throughout culture, as a matter of observation, that sometimes truths are personified, sometimes as men, sometimes as women. Perhaps one of the most famous ones in our country is the Statue of Liberty. Liberty is depicted as a famous statue of a woman. The other famous one is Lady Justice with a blindfold. So the book of Proverbs uses this. And so we shouldn't be afraid when the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, speaks of himself as the wisdom of God. Especially in light of remembering how God made us all. He made us all in his image, male and female. And so scripture is not afraid of that analogy, and neither should we. We should rejoice in it because through it, God communicates a powerful truth. First thing, in this section, and I think there are nine different sections in Solomon's, there are, I forget the exact number, but there are 12, I think there are 12 sections of wisdom, and this is one of them in the first nine chapters. Don't hold me to that, but if I recall reading it correctly. And each one has a different theme of a slight variation. And the theme of this section, and I believe it begins in verse 11 through verse 20, is the blessings of wisdom. What does wisdom bring us? It brings us blessings. It brings us, as one commentator says, delights. It's delightful. The picture is of a gracious, beautiful, godly woman bringing delights. Verse 11 and 12 don't seem to comport with that. But brother and sister in Christ, you need to understand it. The blessings of discipline. It is a sign of God's favor to be disciplined. I've understood this. You can't help but read the scriptures. The book of Hebrews quotes these two verses verbatim in the Greek translation of the Bible in Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. And which is an exposition of the scripture to Jewish believers, and it quotes it out of the Septuagint, and so there's a little slight difference in the wording in Hebrews 12, 5, and 6, but it's essentially the same thing. Don't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of reproof, because the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. And the writer in Hebrews is writing to Jewish background believers who were losing everything because their Jewish families were disowning them and disinheriting them for confessing Jesus as Messiah. It is a mark of favor to receive the Lord's discipline. I've understood this in my own personal walk. I will never forget some 20 years ago, someone speaking to me about my life and what a charmed life I seemed to live, the blessings that I seemed to have. And I had to say, this is certainly true. And then immediately after, it seemed like I can almost mark the time after that when my whole world collapsed. That seemed so charming. If you are his son, if you are his daughter, if you belong to the Lord, you will be disciplined. And it is a sign of his blessing to you. Suffering for the believer is not a sign of God's disfavor. It is a sign of God's honor. The book of Job is given to us in the scripture to make that point. And even though it comes from one of his sorry comforters, it's still true. Job 5:17, blessed is the one whom God reproves. The Lord Jesus, when he speaks to the churches in Revelation, says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous. What is the message there? Be zealous for the Lord and repent. That's always the message for the believer and for the one who's yet to come and put their faith in Christ alone. What is the message of trials and troubles and suffering? The message is to repent. And the second thing in this section I would point out to you this morning is the blessing of finding wisdom in verses 13 and 14. The blessings are the delight that comes when you find wisdom and when you get understanding. The gain is from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. All the kings and rulers around Solomon, including Solomon himself, later in his life, when he forgot the gracious answer to prayer that God gave him when he told him to ask for anything. Remember, that's how Solomon began his reign. The Lord told him this young king, this very young king, probably in his lower 20s when he began to reign, ask me anything. And all the kingdoms around were wanting gold and wanting power and chariots and might. And Solomon is given the wisdom to ask for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. And the Lord graciously said to Solomon, because you've not asked for riches, because you've not asked for power, but you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom. And then I'm going to bless you with all of these other things that the kingdoms of the world are seeking. That is a kingdom principle. You should draw spiritual analogies from that to your life, because this is what Jesus did, right? What did he tell us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:32-33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need for life, all these things that the Gentiles are craving, that the world is seeking, they will be added to you. They will come. But note the law of the kingdom. You have to seek for it. In order to find it, you have to seek for it. You have to go and seek after understanding. You have to ask. The law of the kingdom is asked. Solomon had to ask. James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, what do? You ask. It is a law of the kingdom. We have a prayer meeting that is variously attended that will continue even in the new schedule on Wednesday night. But one of the joys of that prayer meeting is to see and review how many amazing ways God has answered prayer. It is how the kingdom works. We do that together in that prayer time. but it should be so in your individual prayer time, in your family prayer time, to ask for wisdom. So often we turn to the world and the world's ways, and we turn to escapes. We turn to seeking information and somehow divining things for ourselves when the Lord tells us to seek Him and to seek His wisdom. It comes from asking and then seeking an answer. And where does God answer and give us wisdom? He gives it through His Word. I'm excited that we're going to not only have prayer time, we're going to have time in the Word following prayer time. And I think that's extremely important. Because it's where does God answer our prayers? I would say to you, the primary place He answers our prayers is through the Word of God. Jesus said it again in another place in Matthew 13. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field. And when he discovered it, he went and sold everything he had in order to obtain that treasure. It can be bought with gold. It can only be given as a gift of God. Third, the blessed path, the blessed path to the tree of life in verse 17 through 18. Again, the metaphor of the Christian life after warfare is walking on a path. We know the path is the Lord Jesus Himself. In John 14:6, He said, "I am the way." He says, "I am the path." It is the Lord Jesus. The blessed path is the Lord Jesus. The tree of life is the place of eternal life. We forget there are two trees in Genesis 3, right? There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil that the Lord commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of. And then there, right next to it is the tree of life. And then after they fell, he said, they have to be banished from the garden lest they take from the tree of life and live forever. That wasn't redemption. That wasn't God's further judgment that they couldn't have life. That wasn't what He was saying. He says he didn't want them to live forever in judgment. You realize that everyone's going to live forever. Everyone ever conceived is going to live forever. You're either going to live forever in judgment in hell if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to live forever in His glory through the Lord Jesus Christ's death for sinners. There are no other places. There is a path that leads to life. Walking is such a beautiful as I get older, I read health things, and it's walking is the healthiest thing you can do. It's a wonderful thing, and we're blessed to live in a state, Arkansas, that have these beautiful places you can hike and walk. But sometimes you get on a path and you wonder, where is this going? And some of you are probably like me, you've been lost. The path of Jesus means you'll never be lost. You'll never be disoriented. You'll never be left by the side and left behind, because He is the way that leads to life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You have to look carefully for the path. Because there are all kinds of competing paths. And the Lord Jesus says those other paths are wide. They look inviting. Every time I hear this song, I just cringe. The anthem of a rebellious generation, a highway to hell. It's a highway. It's an 8-lane thoroughfare, autobahn, whatever you want to call it. That's the one most people are on. It's inviting. You can get there fast. The only one who can deliver you from that path of destruction is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a path of peace. The path of destruction is full of horrible things, and then you die, and you die forever. That's the path of destruction. But the path of Christ leads to the tree of life. Not only is the tree of life the beginning of the Bible, here it is in the middle of the Bible, and it's three more times in the book of Proverbs, and then it's two times in the book of Revelation. It is the personification of the Messiah. He is the tree of life. Have you come to that place to eat of that fruit? To enjoy the fellowship that is offered under the shade of his leaves. Our Lord Jesus didn't exactly say he was the tree himself, but he did say he was the vine. And I am the vine, he said, and you are the branches. Apart from me, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do nothing at all to please the Lord. That's what we declare in the word and in the sacrament. We observe the sacrament with bread, which represents the perfect body of Christ. And we worship also with the cup, which represents the fruit of salvation that comes through his blood shed for sinners. And then finally, this section, and I'm convinced it's in this section because it shows us where everything comes from, is verses 19 and 20. It's by wisdom he founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. And you realize the word Lord here. And my translation, I hope you bring your Bibles. And in the electronic Bibles, one of the deficiencies I think it's in many of them is the Lord is not in all capitals. In the Old Testament, when it denotes the name Yahweh, the covenant name of God. It's really important. I've English translators have done us a great service when they do that for us. Because it points to the eternal nature of the triune Godhead. It points to the Lord Jesus. This is who reveals this. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. Yahweh is the word. The cognate of that original word is I am. And we're told that in Exodus when God reveals himself to Moses as I am. The Lord Jesus said emphatically to the Pharisees in John's Gospel, chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. That's who he is. Earlier in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, he says he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that exists came into being through Him. God is the Creator, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all involved, if you look carefully in the first verses of Genesis, in the creation. But He is the instrumentality of the creation. The Scripture says clearly, many places here, one, as well as Genesis, as well as John 1. We live in a world that wants to deny the Creator, that wants to tell you that blessings come from the fact that you are just a product of random chance, that you are not only no different than the trees and the stars and the fish, you're less than those things. That's not God. That's the devil's lie that is being fed a generation. You are blessed. That's why the vileness of abortion is so vile, because it's the taking of life that God created in His image. No one has that right. Murder is evil. No one has the right to take another's life but God Himself. We have a reminder of that in the second part of this couplet. By His knowledge, the deeps broke open. That's not a message about creation. That's a message about judgment. That's a reference back to Genesis 7 when the floodwaters broke up from the earth and the whole world was covered with a deluge, except for Noah and his family. Again, there are those who spend their life trying to discredit that truth. The gospel is founded upon that truth. It is a blessing that you've been created. It's a blessing that God preserved Noah and his family to keep you alive and us. And He does it miraculously. As we come to the Lord's table, I would ask you, is your faith rooted and grounded in the Creator God through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death for sinners and nothing else? And are you seeking to live as a result of that a life of wisdom, which comes from the work of the Holy Spirit implanted deep in you through the good news of what Jesus has done for you? Let us pray. Father, thank You for the wisdom of the Scripture. Transform us with the power of the Holy Spirit from what we are now to what we ought to be in Christ. And if anyone here has yet to repent of their sin and turn to put their trust fully in Jesus Christ alone, our Creator, our Redeemer, then may You enable them to do so even now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.